Hello, 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 and welcome to Buzz Binging. My name is Natalie.
And I'm Christy, your mom.
And we are going to be covering The Crown Season 6, Episode 3, Dis-moi oui, and Season 6, Episode 4, The Aftermath.
We are. I anticipate that there will be cursing. And
probably.
So we should give that as a disclaimer. Other disclaimers, there may, although I seriously doubt it, be spoilers. I mean, like, many of the people who are listening to this have been alive during, like, some of this history, so there shouldn't be, like, huge surprises here. But just in case you didn't watch season six of this show, there will be spoilers, probably. And we're having things to drink. What do you have to drink?
Sweet tea.
We are really stretching your bar here.
Listen, it's the middle of the day. I just got back after a workout. I'm having sweet tea. Leave it alone.
Hey, I'm not doing that much better. I was struggling to come up with something creative for this because it is the middle of the day and I'm just kind of like not wanting to have a serious beverage. And I don't think that these episodes, they should deserve it, but they don't. And so what I did instead is I'm having coffee, but it is vanilla cream puff coffee. And
vanilla
I'm having
cream puff.
Yeah, I mean, that's been my afternoon coffee for the last month or so. But it is my it is coffee, and I have it in my Star Wars Tatooine mug because of Force Ghosts. It will make sense.
I didn't even think about that. That's funny. Anyway,
hey, let's do something in honor of the episode. So yeah, let's roll.
Let's get started with season six, episode three, Dis-moi oui. I did not take French. I am sorry. We start out with Diana on the yacht talking to her therapist on the phone about how Dodi wrote her a poem that was engraved on a silver plaque after his ugly breakup with his fiance, who is now suing him. That's normal.
Yeah.
Mohammed,
Dodi is talking to his dad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, meanwhile, on the phone about how to woo Diana and how he'll get the whole company if he can make it happen. The therapist talks to Diana about how she probably shouldn't associate with the Fayeds because she doesn't need more messy stuff in her life and things could go terribly, terribly wrong.
Yeah, she has some good lines here, though. And honestly, I feel like she is the insert for the audience here. It's kind of like, yeah, this is just one more drama. These are more unhealthy relationships, and the more you're around that, it just normalizes the abnormal. Just becoming part of that drama normalizes the abnormal. So Diana takes her advice and decides to
Mohammed tells Dodi not to waste his chance with Diana, and yeah, Diana decides to book a flight back to the UK instead of staying on the yacht. They're in Monte Carlo now. They are stopped in Monte Carlo. Dodi convinces Diana to go with him to the mainland to shop and get ice cream with only hats for disguises. Good job, Dodi. The most recognizable person in the world
is
Diana.
It's unbelievably dumb. And she doesn't want to do it. You can tell
exactly.
That she's like, no, because she knows, right? Like, I can't go anywhere. You don't get it. And it proves true.
Yeah, especially not with like a proper royal outfit of guards. You can't do that. She has some security, but like it's down to the bare bones. So
I'm not sure that it's her security. I think it's his.
No, it's her security. He's British. I think he's
no, the one guy,
Trevor,
he's at Dodi's funeral.
Trevor is?
I think so, yeah.
I didn't see him there. All right. They get... That makes no sense. But okay. They get ice cream. Dodi apologizes for the fiancé situation and for just being weird. He starts having a pity party for himself about how he's portrayed in the papers. And Diana's like, yeah, it sucks to be in the tabloids, bro. Can we not be a part of the tabloids?
Yeah, but even when they... Before they even get the ice cream and sit down, there are people in the crowd who have started to recognize her.
Yeah, because she's the most recognizable person in the world.
Right, and while they're eating, you hear this kind of low hum of like, oh, it's her, the whispering and all that stuff. And before they finish their ice cream, some tourist comes up, hey, can we take a picture with you? And she's like, shit.
Yeah. And she's not trying to be rude. She just knows what it will lead to. And it's funny because In most cases, like celebrities, they can get swarmed. However, sometimes you're in situations where it's just a couple people coming up asking for autographs or pictures or something, and you can manage that. But when it's Diana, everyone's coming up to take a picture of her just to either to like get a quick buck and sell it to a newspaper or to or for posterity or whatever. But it just comes in like larger doses, and so it gets more overwhelming more quickly.
I will also say this. There is some weirdness about the guards. The security guards are not like right there with them immediately. That you saw them go off ahead of time, and it looks like they're scoping out where they end up trying to go for shelter. And I don't know if they're scoping out, they're probably supposed to scope out, like, from a security standpoint, like which ways are good exits to get back to the boat or blah, blah, blah. They may have been doing that, but the way it looked looks a lot more staged, and it really bothers me.
Anyway, they are forced to hide out in a jewelry shop. Dodie
The
asks,
jewelry. Yep, that's my point.
he asks if he apologizes, and he asks if there's anything that she likes, and she almost jokingly points out at a poster for a ring with the slogan "Dis-moi oui," which translates to "Tell me yes or say yes to me." Thank you, Google Translate. And then they eventually make it back to the yacht while photographers chase them.
Yeah, it's not just photographers though. There are people like banging on the windows of this
I
jewelry
know.
shop, and they're able to get out the back, but it is unnerving how little, privacy that she has.
Yeah, and Diana's really upset, and Dodie doesn't really care all that much. Like he doesn't even act like he cares about her like mental well-being, because she's like having almost a breakdown when they're like on the boat heading back to the yacht, and he's just like, "Oh well, that's just what happens with you, I suppose. It's okay because now it makes it seem like you want to get engaged."
Yeah,
Whatever.
no, I mean, it's really all about him, and he kind of likes the attention, right?
Yeah, what the fuck, dude? And he's like, maybe this will give me good press. It's like, what the fuck? Not to say that he was like that in real life. I have no idea. And neither do you. But it's just
Right, and
like,
neither do the
well,
tabloids or
yeah, we'll
this shop.
never know exactly what kind of guy he was. But just the way they're portraying him is having very little feeling for how she feels. Anyway, Diana tells Dodie that she has to go back to the UK in the morning. Dodie says that she can use their private plane but has to check with his dad. Dodie calls his dad and talks about the ring and how the Paris branch of the store has it in stock. Mohammed says, "Oh, you need to go to Paris then." But Dodie's like, "No, she wants to go home." But Mohammed it completely ignores that and is like, "No, take her to Paris, propose to her, and then like do whatever you want. I don't care. You need to propose, even though it's been what, a summer? Like, what the fuck?"
Yeah, it hasn't even been like a month, it feels like. It's like, this
And
is
the
insane.
thing is, I don't think that she had that long of a courtship with Charles either, but that was a different time. She was much younger, and it was more of a whirlwind kind of thing, even though it was like chaperoned and all that stuff. It was
Right,
more
but
of a
she'd met
whirlwind.
him before. She knew
She
who
had
he
met him
was.
before, and
She doesn't
she
know
knew
this
who he
guy at all.
was in a general sense. She has just met Dodie this summer. Like, oh, well, technically she met Dodie before, but she only really had a conversation with Dodie this summer. So, like, what?
And I
No.
will say this, there are so many parallels that are drawn between her relationship with Charles and her relationship with Dodie. They're very similar, like wanting to please family, very lapdog-ish to their family. Charles, there's a reason for it though. Dodie, it's like, grow the fuck
Like,
up.
why?
Yeah, exactly. Like there's no anything. So yeah.
Yeah, he Dodie tells her that they will need to stop in Paris for a night, and she agrees, but she wants to find time to call the boys. He's like, we can make that happen. At Balmoral, Anne talks to Philip about how she's concerned for William because he seems really depressed, and Anne suggests that they take him hunting for a stag.
Stalking.
Yes. Diana and Dodie get hounded by photographers and get greeted by their driver at the airport in Paris. Mohammed gave the driver instructions to go to the Villa Windsor rather than straight to Dodie's apartment, which is a complete breach of trust. And like, and Dodie doesn't tell her. Like, he gets in the car and she's like, hey, is everything okay? Because he just found out they were rerouted from like going to his apartment to the Villa Windsor. And he's just like, oh, yeah, no, totally. Everything's fine. It's
we just have a little detour. And because the conversation he's having with the driver is not in English. And so she's like completely in the dark about it. And this to me, and you can tell like she's pissed by the time they get
there. I don't blame her because she has to call the kids
too. Yeah.
And so he says they'll stop by the Ritz for Diana's phone call, then go to his apartment after they go to the Villa, once they, after they spend some time at the Villa Windsor, they'll go to the Ritz for her phone call and then his apartment, which I guess the Ritz is closer.
None of this makes any fucking sense to me.
None
okay?
of it makes sense to me at all. Stay at Villa Windsor and take the call from there. Like,
yeah.
Whatever. Anyway, Mohammed calls Jodie once they get to Villa Windsor and forces Diana to get on the phone, even though she doesn't want to, because that will make it take more time and she won't get to talk to the boys. And when she like is on the phone, Mohammed's just cutting her off constantly. And he's just like, oh, I hope you like Villa Windsor. I would love for you and Jodie to move in there. Like, completely jumping
get married
the
gun. Move in there. He says it. And she's kind of like, great.
Yeah, thank you so much. That's so sweet. Idea. Okay, bye. It's just like, what the fuck? Dude, do you want to ruin this? And Jodie is, he also talks about Jodie's how Wallace dumb. And David were happy there. They were so happy. And he wants the same for her and Dodie. Dodie is upset with Mohammed because he's stressing Diana out. You are too, bro. And to let him do things in his way.
There is some like super weird shit at Villa Windsor. So they have like the servants have been prompted, I guess, by Mohammed to like have a champagne toast ready as soon as they get there.
Yeah, really.
And Diana's like not having it. As they're getting ready to leave, like she's turning to like leave, there is this big painting of Mohammed dressed up like a pharaoh.
It's really weird.
It's fucking weird. So they leave to go to the Ritz, I guess. And while they're doing this, the paparazzi are getting more and more aggressive in how they are surrounding the car, following the car, all of the things. You know, like they can't get through traffic. And so even the police get involved because they're like holding up traffic because they've gotten in front of the car. But the music that they're using for this, and I think this is really kind of a good way to get you into that mindset. It's very aggressive drums and cymbals and this clanging, you know, constant beat of, and it gets more and more discordant. And it's just really unnerving. So you get that sense that there's no peace for her.
Right. And they get to the Ritz. Diana calls the boys, but they are out hunting after waiting for her call. So she missed her call with the boys. Thanks, Dodie and Mohammed. Diana puts together a gift for Harry's birthday, which is intercut with William hunting and killing a stag and getting blood smeared on his face. He's getting blooded for his first kill, and Dodie buying the ring. They go to Dodie's apartment. I don't know why they needed to go to Dodie's apartment. They could have just stayed at the Ritz, but
it's just nuts. It's dumb.
And I mean, like, choose a place to stay. You know how hard it is to like go from one place to another with Diana. You could just stay at the Ritz anyway, or at Dodie's apartment, whatever. I don't fucking
care.
The boys and asks about Scotland. William, tell what.
I do love this conversation. Do you have some quotes you wanted to give from this? The conversation with the boys?
I mean, like, I have basically the whole conversation, like, just in general senses. I don't necessarily have the exact quotes.
I think one of the things, like, William really wants to talk, he wants Harry to do it, but they want to find out.
Oh, that's later. William tells her about...
William calls him a poser.
Yeah, I know. William tells her about the stag, and Harry asks about the poser. And William tries to force Harry to ask if she's going to marry Dodie, but like Harry wimps out in the last minute, and so William's just like, hey mom, are you gonna marry Dodie? And she's like, no, no, absolutely not. I'm not going to marry Jody. And he's like, okay. And he also asks, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, no, I'm totally okay. The things you say to your child to make them feel better. And like, I mean, she's
Don't know anything
absolutely
about
not okay. She,
I
but
don't
she's
know anything
like,
about
I just need to make some changes in my life. But at this point, wasn't like William like 13-ish, probably older. I don't even know how old he
15. He
was.
was 15
15?
because Anne thought he was too, he was
15,
getting
yes. She
old
does mention
and
that.
totally should have like blooded himself and gotten
Yeah,
sterilized.
and Harry's supposed to be like, I don't know, 10, 7? I don't know.
It's,
I
I've
don't
got to
know.
double check that, but Harry is a fair bit younger.
Yeah,
But yeah, there
anyway.
are I love yous all around. Everyone's very, affectionate with each other on the phone.
It's really sweet.
Yeah.
Also, she calls William Wombat. I'm like, that's an interesting nickname. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, Diana and Dodie were going to go to a restaurant. I don't know why.
This
Literally
is so
order
dumb.
in. But
So dumb.
because of the harassment for the paparazzi, they go to the Ritz instead because it's closer. Why they keep ending up at the Ritz? I don't know. You should just stay at the Ritz. They go to the restaurant, and I don't know why they go to the restaurant, and are seated in the public dining room where everyone is looking at them. Diana feels self-conscious and starts to cry, and Dodie decides they'll eat upstairs, which should have been the decision in the first place. Like, what the fuck, dude?
Yes, you dumbass. What the fuck? You want to you're
You
trying
want to
to
make her
impress this woman.
uncomfortable.
Yeah, I know you're trying to impress this woman and you know that she hates the publicity. So why would you keep doing public shit?
Absolute bullshit. Then
Yeah.
Dodie, they go upstairs to like the presidential suite or whatever. Dodie apologizes for making her go to Paris, and he shows her the ring from Monte Carlo. Diana
Yeah.
says, no, you're not doing this right now. She like
And
makes
he
him
gets on
stand
his
up.
knees. Yeah, he gets down on his knees like he's proposing and she's like, no.
Absolutely
No.
not. And she says, even though the summer was fun, and just because the world is wondering if they're going to get married doesn't mean they actually should. And she's absolutely correct.
I
She's
will say, like, this whole sequence, there is complete, it's kind of like some
extrapolation,
interpolations,
yes.
but right, yeah. I mean, it is fiction. It is probably a lot more articulate on both of their sides than either would be. But one of the things I find interesting is that Diana has this kind of like articulate, I've been through therapy, whatever conversation, whereas Dodie is made out to be basically a clown.
Oh, for sure. He's an absolute clown fuck. Like, what the fuck are you doing? She
Yeah.
says they both aren't ready and she won't marry him just so his father will love him. Facts. She encourages him to break free of his father. Dodie tells her to slow, and then Dodie gives her advice about you just need to slow down. You have so many things that you will eventually accomplish in her life, which is very sad to think about, but you'll be able to accomplish a lot of things. You just need to slow down. Take things at your own pace and just kind of chill. And she says that she needs to spend more time with her children and he needs to spend less time with his father. It's big shock that this big revelations are happening in Paris. Mohammed calls Dodie and he asks about the proposal and Dodie says he has good news and an agreement was made. Then he hangs up with the hope, like when he thinks that like Diana's not looking, he hangs up, but he keeps holding the phone to his ear and has this whole tirade about how he's gonna break free and it doesn't matter if you cut me off, blah 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 blah,
Yeah,
and
he's
it's just like
basically
what?
like claiming he told his dad that they're not getting married, and he never did.
Which is absolutely stupid.
Well,
He's
okay,
gonna find out eventually.
right, but here's the thing that I find interesting about this. I am, and this is pure supposition on my part, but I am guessing that some of this script is based on what is known, right?
Well,
Like
yeah, I'd hope so.
Muhammad would know that. His son called him and like, oh, the phone cut off. Here's the question to me. If you're Muhammad and you're wanting to know if your son got engaged and the phone cuts off, why don't you call him back?
That's a good question. I don't
It's a good,
know.
yeah. It's
Maybe
stupid.
like he thought that, oh, well, they're just gonna go have sex now or something. I don't know. Anyway, I really don't know. Either
Yeah.
way. Then Dodie asks where she wants to stay the night, and she says his apartment, even though the paparazzi is swarming them, swarming
the
outside.
Ritz? Why are you staying at the
Because all of her stuff is back at the apartment. I mean, I guess she could
servants?
Send somebody.
Yeah, send somebody. That's crazy. You've got like all this entourage of people. Send one of them to get your shit.
Yeah. Oh, well. The boys get packed. Back at the Balmoral. The boys get packed and ready for bed, excited to see their mom the next day, because the plan is she's going to go back to the UK in the morning and see them in the afternoon. And so we go back over to Paris. They have formulated a plan. The security have formulated a plan on how to get them out of there. And and Dodie also has some ideas, but what Dodie is planning on doing is that they came with three cars, two like cop cars or whatever, to like, it's kind of like a parade kind of thing. So you have the two cop cars on either side and the one with them in the middle. And so they're thinking, okay, so we can send two of the cars away, including the one in the middle, to make it seem like we're leaving. And we can distract them. And then we, like, somebody gets, our actual driver goes to the back with the other car, and we just get in there, and then we escape. Because that will absolutely work when they see that Diana and Dodie are not leaving out the front. That will make perfect sense to everybody.
Right. And while they're waiting for this plan to be arranged, he admits to her that he didn't tell his dad. And I should say that there is what I hate, and you hate this too, the breakup kiss. Like, special. It's like, what the fuck? If you're breaking up, you don't kiss the person. That's dumb.
Yeah, that's pathetic. Driver who picked them up at the airport and has been driving them around Paris and kind of sucking at it. Who like got them
Why
stuck
are they
in traffic
him?
Earlier.
Why are they picking him for this?
I don't know. And so like because Mohammed hired him or whatever. I don't know. So basically the head security guy, Trevor, I believe, goes to the bar where this driver is at, which if the driver's at a bar in the first place, that's a lot of red flags right there. And he's like, hey, we have this plan. You're going to go out back and you're going to pick them up and you're going to drive them back to his apartment. And he's like, okay, that sounds like a good idea. Leaving a couple glasses empty behind him, which again, red flags. And also, I didn't ever know that this guy was the driver was actually like a little bit intoxicated. I always thought it was just a freak accident, but this changes things a little bit for me in the grand scheme of things.
That actually was pretty well documented, and they had a number of inquests, trials, that kind of stuff, some in Paris and some later in England, like much later in England, because they wanted to air it out. They felt like the French had covered shit up, which, you know, they assume the French are doing.
It's the French.
It's the French. And so they had another like public trial, and that was the finding, is driver was drunk.
Interesting. I never knew that. So
you can Google it. There's a lot more information. There's a lot more information. But again, yeah, that is pretty well documented. So
it just makes me wonder why they just didn't use a different fucking driver. Anyway,
it's Paris. Everyone's drunk.
Sure. Dodie tells her that his dad didn't hear a word he was saying, and then she's like, yeah, I know, because he like very clearly hung up the phone, and he's just like,
fake. Oh my god.
She's like,
go ahead. I'm sorry. No, I do have something to add. I have something to add, but it is after this conversation. So go ahead.
Well, again, she just kisses him and is like, you're a very special person, but no.
Vomit. Vomit. So
I heard you.
Then we get into this kind of final sequence, most of which we've seen, but the theme music that they use for this, there's been a kind of French horn theme that they've done like at the end of these episodes, that I guess it's supposed to be like impending death or something, but the first time we heard it was when King George was telling Philip, you know, she's the job, right? And so it's at the end of an episode. It's like you're imparting great knowledge, and it's kind of this kind of almost majestic theme. It's like, why this does not fit here at all.
Okay. So we see the guy with the dog again. We see that William cannot sleep because of impending doom and foreshadowing. And some photographers see Diane. First of all, the driver comes out of this from the back after telling Diana and Dodie, he's like, "You're gonna get out of here." It's like, oh my god, ham-handed, don't do that. And the guy comes out, and there are some photographers there because everyone's covering all of their bases, and he's like, "Don't follow us. You'll never catch us." I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Just don't say that. Like, don't be like, you'll never catch us alive. You're literally giving away where they're gonna go. Like, what are you doing?
But it's also like taunting them, like, oh, it's on, maybe, you know?
Yeah, like, what the fuck are you trying to do? Anyway,
come on.
Then they get in the car after like being hounded by the paparazzi. Some photographers start to follow them on their motorcycles. And again, the way I thought this actually went down was that the motorcyclists were really much closer to the car. And clearly, according to the Crown, not. But
again, I think it's probably, and I am assuming that this is more accurate because of all of the inquests and stuff. We're done.
Sure. Yeah, and I mean, it does make sense because, like, the reason why they would speed up is because of, regardless of if they were right up on them, like, they were, like, closer to them than they would have liked, and they were trying to lose them, so it makes sense why they would speed up, not that much, but, like, but enough.
Into the wall.
Into a fucking wall, like, come on, drunk or not, like, are you kidding me? Anyway, I can understand the car speeds up, and Diana and Dodie in the back, like, they're stressed out. Like, there's even a moment when they first get into the car where her head is like on the like back of the passenger seat. Passenger seat, because it's in Paris and they have normal cars. On the back of the passenger seat, like, kind of almost like in a, not a fetal position, but like, you know, on planes where you're supposed to like have your head like covered and all that stuff. It kind of looked like mm-hmm. that.
Yeah.
Crash position.
Yeah.
Impending doom. Yeah. It's a shame she wasn't in crash position.
Well, no.
Anyway.
Hey, I'm going to say she is the only survivor.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about that. Well,
I think she was in crash position.
Very technically. Anyway, so they're in the car, they're speeding up, and for whatever reason, they decide to speed up in a tunnel. Drunk guy is awful at driving. Please never. Obviously, no one's ever going to hire him again, but Jesus. So.
Jesus is going to hire him.
Sorry. Anyway, sorry, God. Anyway, they're driving, and Dodie and Diana hold hands, thinking everything is gonna be okay. I'm sorry. Everyone knows how this fucking ends. You can't just like watch it and be like, "Oh, that's a sweet moment." No, like, it's a horrible moment. Like,
it's
whenever
horrible,
the guy, yeah. Literally, when the driver was like, "I'll get you there alive," or
oh my god,
he
yeah.
says something so obvious, and I'm just like, "Don't say that."
Yeah, I mean, and again, you know, I don't know if that was documented. You don't. I would like to. It makes you curious about the transcripts and stuff, because I think those were all released at some point in time.
Anyway, the car speeds up, goes into the tunnel, and crashes. We hear the crash. We don't see it. Thank God. I'm glad they didn't.
I am too.
It just went into the tunnel. Crash it. Hear the crash noises from the dog guy's point of view, and then the motorcyclists go in afterwards, and that kind
and
of stuff.
French horn music plays. So, what were your best parts?
Finally getting to the major event, I guess. Like, I we've been waiting for this to happen. It's sad to say that we were, but we were, because it's not that I don't. It's not that I haven't enjoyed some of the Diana stuff. It's just it's gone on for way too long, and especially knowing,
yeah, it's dominated this.
It has dominated it in many ways, and And not to say I'm absolutely not happy she's dead, the person or the
No.
character. Absolutely not. That's a
No.
horrible tragedy. But we all know what happens. And so we know that eventually she's not going to be a character anymore. She will be mentioned, of course. However, it's not like she's going to be a major player later on. So I feel like they've just really tried to be ham-handed with how much they used Diana, because she was a very popular figure at the time, and a lot of the tabloid stuff is available and documented and all that stuff. Whether or not it's true or not, we'll never know. But either way, it just, I think I liked the stuff, especially in season 4, of the very beginning of the relationship with Charles and all that stuff, and seeing how that kind of fizzled out and all that stuff. Season 5, just too much. It should have ended with her death in season 5, so that we could kind of like move on to the new era afterwards. Because it really, like, there, what, like, you have so much stuff to like cover afterwards. Like, I thought they were going to cover more of the modern era, which I guess makes sense why they wouldn't, because they don't want to offend anybody who's actually like active right now. But like, still, I think they were kind of pussies about it. Like, they were just like, well, we can't cover everything, and also we don't want to cover Harry and Meghan, which I'm fine with. Don't do that.
Oh
But
yeah, no, I'm fine with that too. But I feel like there's some reasons for it. Was that all of your best parts?
No. The acting I thought was very good. I genuinely think the actress for Diana for both times are they're great. I think especially in this one, got a Golden Globe, I think.
She did.
And I think she's fantastic. I just think that there's way too much of her. But yeah, I think she's fantastic. I think the Jodie actor is also very good, but I just think that we've seen too much of them. The character of Jodie, not the person, but the character of Jodie, I do not like, but we'll get to him later. The boys, seeing William and Harry and all that stuff. And I love the dynamic of them, because I like the way they're writing them, because it's obviously in a complimentary light. I mean, they're the new generation and all that stuff, but also with them just acting like kids and being like, hey, don't be a dick. Like, t ask mom if she's gonna get married. Like, I think it's just funny to see that dynamic, especially
They're real
with them
people.
being like different ages and all that stuff. While you're doing your best parts, I'm gonna look up how old Harry is in
Okay,
comparison, but
so
go ahead.
my best parts are much fewer. William and Harry, I think, are both great, the portrayals. I have Diana question mark, mostly because I think this is fictionalized. And like the things I like about her, like her telling Dodie no and grow up and all of that stuff. I like that. But we don't know that that ever happened. And so it's kind of like I struggle with it. So I want to address some of the things that you talked about with the show and the Diana stuff and all of that. I get the impression that these showrunners became interested in producing something about the monarchy after Diana's death, because they did The Queen, which it is about Elizabeth's response to the death of Diana. It's the Helen Mirren one. And so that was their movie.
I'm
And
so sorry, very quickly. I'm just telling you the age of them. I'm very confused. They're only 2 years apart.
yeah, they portray them as being like 5 years apart. So yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Maybe Harry was just a very short child. It's fine. He'll grow eventually. Go ahead.
Yeah. So but they became interested in that phenomenon, like that push and pull between the public perception and the monarchy and what the responsibilities are and all that kind of stuff. And so I think that that's what got them interested in it. They may have done like deep dives or gotten other people involved, like pitch this show, blah, blah, blah. And you've gotten some people who were very talented involved in it, but I think they have always been very focused on the Diana death thing. And so stretching that out seemed to be very important to them. Also, very recently, of course, and you probably know this in the dynamics of the Harry and Meghan universe, it's been very public that they've succeeded, the royals have succeeded in getting defamation cases and that kind of stuff through the courts and getting awards. So they don't want to fuck with the royals, like, do some fictionalized portrayal that's so off base, but titillating and makes money. they don't want to do that, especially with royals that might actually sue them. So
exactly. Yeah, that's kind of, again, I'm sorry for calling them pussies. I just think that they extended this way too long. And
I do too. I do
because
too.
There was so much they could have done, yeah, not even in the absolute modern era, but like in the early 2000s.
Yeah, of course. There are huge stretches of this dynamic with the family that I think they could have done a lot more with it, and I would have cared more. And you, it's not that I d- again, I'm like, I'm with you. It's not that I don't care that Diana said, of course we all care that she died, and I think that it has had a really astounding impact on public perception and the monarchy and blah blah blah.
I think another part of it is that I think it's just, it's the part that I've grown up with of like the Kate and William wedding and all that stuff. It's the part I'm actually most familiar with. I remember waking up early to watch the wedding and her amazing dress and all that stuff. Like it's that amazing. Was my Diana and Charles, like better because they actually stay together.
Oh, they're a much better couple. They are a much better couple. Although, you know, the pomp and circumstance is always there because you are dealing with royals.
Yeah, but also I have heard like the rumors that they like he's cheating on her, whatever. Anyway,
I had not heard that. That would be really annoying. Either way,
I just think that they're a lot less public about their dislike for each other if they do. So I kind of appreciate that. Yeah. Not to say that if it's a bad relationship, they should stay together. It's more just like, at least they're kind of doing what Diana and Charles were being told to do, if that's the case. Which, I mean, is a little bit more stable, but whatever.
Yeah, I
don't know if there's any validity.
We can discuss that off podcast. So what grade did you give this episode?
We haven't done worse parts. mine are Muhammad forcing things, Dodie pushing things, too long, extrapolation, and the driver for being drunk. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Yeah, you also know who you're transporting. Like, what?
Yeah,
it would be one thing if he thought they were going to stay at the Ritz and so he didn't have to deal with all that shit, but like clearly they were, it was uncertain, and so it's kind of like, why, what possessed you to just have a drink? Like, what?
Whatever. So you, yeah, I wrote it Dodie, drunk driver, Muhammad, and paparazzi. What grade did you give this episode?
Oh, and paparazzi, yes. I don't know, B? I don't know. I mean, that's high.
This episode? Like,
maybe it's a C plus. I don't know.
I gave it a C minus.
Oh, I'll give it a C.
I did not like this episode. And I think it's mostly because, it's drawn out, it's extrapolation. And I generally don't like those anyway. I didn't like the one with the Charles and Diana postmortem of their marriage that we all know is fiction. It's like, you know, come on, this is just dumb.
Well, I think this episode in the grand, I might give it a C plus only because I think that since they were going to do Diana's death in a particular way, I think it makes sense to chronicle her final day or final days. It makes the most sense to do it in that way. But like, I don't know. This could have been at the end of season 5. Anyway, actually no, C. Okay. Season 6, episode 4, Aftermath.
Servants
are, you hate this episode more than I do.
No. There are things I really love about this episode. Again, I feel like it's bloated.
Servants are woken up at Balmoral by a phone call about Diana being injured in a car accident. Mohammed is also informed that Dodie died on impact or whatever, died on the scene, at least. The adults, Elizabeth and Philip and Charles are woken up and told about the accident and how Diana is at the hospital. Mohammed goes to Paris and goes to the site of the accident. Okay, that won't do you much good, but okay. It's like, where did it happen? It's like in a tunnel. Like, what do you want me to say? Like, it sucks. Yes, that's awful. Like, it's absolutely horrible. But why is going to the scene of the crime much better than just going straight to the morgue?
I think that there may be elements of this that deal with Islam that I don't fully understand. The cries out to Allah and stuff like that, and chanting. And I don't know if that is a religious thing that may or may not have been, like going to the scene where your child actually died, if that's a thing, I doubt it.
Possible.
It's possible, but I doubt it. I
I don't know
do
enough.
think, but again, I also suspect that this may be documented in that Muhammad probably testified at some of these things, like,
Oh,
oh,
for sure he
and I
did.
saw
Like
this and I saw that or whatever.
the way he was portrayed, like he thinks he knows a lot about what was going on between Dodie
Yeah.
and Diana, even though he absolutely did not.
Right.
No one does except for Dodie and Diana, and they're no
And they
longer
go through her
available.
stuff, which is creepy,
Oh,
but
that's
that's
ridiculous. We'll
later.
get there. We'll get there. Mohammed then goes to the morgue and identifies Dodie's body, which is really sad. Like it's I hate to compare it to this, but the scene in the new West Side Story when Anita goes to identify Bernardo's body? Yeah, it reminded me of that. It
Yes.
shouldn't have, but it did. Anyway, but like whereas Ariana DeBose was I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to compare the two. It's very different. Anyway, then in the subtitles, because I have subtitles on for whenever I'm watching the episodes, it just said when he was like screaming after seeing his son and like basically making out with his forehead. Not to say that you shouldn't kiss your child goodbye, but like he was like kissing his neck. I was like, okay,
Yeah,
that's a little
it was a
far.
little weird.
But either way, he in the subtitles it just said shouting mournfully in Arabic. I'm sorry, it made me burst out laughing at the worst time.
That is really like poor.
It's
It's
awful.
the only thing I can say is like if you aren't going to bother to use Google Translate, put up nothing.
Oh no. I think it's just because you couldn't
Yeah.
make out what he was actually trying to say in Arabic. Because he kind of was just shouting.
He does
Anyway.
say Allah. I can hear
Oh no,
that.
yeah, they say we see that, but like whatever. They basically translate literally everything else out of Arabic into English and all that stuff. Anyway, then at the hospital, the surgeon comes out of the operating room, and everybody's like, all the nursing staff and all that are gathered around because it's like the big patient.
It's
Not like you
dying.
have other patients, but whatever. It's only a hospital. Everybody's gathered around. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to make light of this. It's all I have. It's a defense mechanism. Anyway, because if I think about it too hard, I will cry. People are gathered around. Not necessarily for this part. People are gathered around, and the surgeon comes out, and she is declared dead. And the staff are crushed. There are some people who are crying, all that stuff. Balmoral is informed of her death, and a servant tells Elizabeth, Philip, and Charles, who like we don't actually hear it. It's like it's muted, and you just see their reactions. And Charles is especially crushed by the news, and I think that makes the most sense
Yeah,
because.
no, it's
I
really
mean,
good.
even if you did have a tumultuous relationship with her, you were married, you do have two kids,
Yeah,
and you
no,
at one point at least liked her enough to give her a modicum of respect. So
Right. So
it's a sad.
what I wrote was this is the most sympathetic Charles has ever been in this show.
Oh, for sure. Like
Period.
it's astounding. Anyway,
And then there were the
Charles goes.
credits.
And then
And
we have
then
the
we have
credits. And then Charles
Charles.
goes on a walk and grieves. And much like he did for Dickie Mountbatten after while he was fly fishing,
I thought that was better.
he yells at a lake. And
Yes.
he
Find a body of water and scream.
honestly, I'll try that next time.
Philip kind of did that too when his sister died. So yeah, kind
Oh,
of show.
that's true. Yeah, maybe it's just the Mountbatten way. Anyway.
No, it seems to be a thing.
Charles calls Camilla and she asks him when he's going to tell the boys, which, what the fuck, lady? I understand that you have absolutely no frame of reference for how he's feeling right now, but don't just bring up, oh yeah, what about your children that you have with this woman who literally just died hours ago? Like,
I would have, I don't, what, that's the question, right? I think I would have
what?
asked that. What is
I'm sure. I
inappropriate
just don't care about Camilla in this moment.
about it? Oh,
Camilla
no,
is the one that I
she
least
shouldn't
care
even
about her
get an honorable
reaction.
mention here. She should not be any part of
She
this at all.
shouldn't be. She's less than a footnote in this story. Well, in this part of the story, anyway. She should be, anyway. But I think that in general, like, I didn't need the phone call with Camilla. I think that him talking to another adult, like maybe Anne, about it would make me feel a little bit better. But like, her just being like, oh, well, that's sad. What are you going to tell the boys? It's just like, Okay, give him a minute to grieve himself before he has to crush his children's dreams. And I mean, like, he does bring that up of like he says he's going to wait for them to wake up because while they're asleep, they at least have a mother, which is so sad. It's
Yeah,
just
it's
very
true.
depressing. And
Yeah.
at one point, Dominic West's son was playing William, but he made sure that they switched actors by the time they got to this point because he didn't want to do this scene with him. And I
Yeah.
do not blame him.
Well, but they edit a lot of it out, even with this
know.
other actor, which is weird because, both
The
of the child
actor's
actors are very
great.
good. So yeah, I don't know. It's
Anyway,
the stuff we care about, right?
yeah,
This
it
is what.
is. And Charles goes to William. And I noticed that you never see anybody tell anybody that Diana's dead. You literally just get their reactions. And I kind of like that because first of all, it would get very repetitive. Second of all, it's enough to see the reaction to, like, it's just crushing them. Charles goes to William and he wakes him up and he's like, you have to be very brave today. And he's like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? And he tells him, and then he takes him to go tell Harry. And Harry's face is just
Yeah.
crushed. He crushed me. It's so
Oh,
sad. Because he
yeah.
looks
No,
at
it's good.
William and he's like, Dad's lying, right?
Yeah.
But
I mean,
it's just, you
and that's what you
can't.
would do because, Charles would lie. So, yeah.
Whoa, I would hope he would never lie about that, but
No,
okay.
not about that. But, I have a feeling their relationship was not lovely,
No, and I think that he just in general like trusts William more. And
Yes.
because to be fair,
I
like
think he would trust William more than Diana, too.
I
Like, if
agree
I.
because I was just thinking about that. It's like when you have divorced parents and you only have like one other sibling. I've never been in the situation, by the way. this is just what I'm inferring. But like when you are the only constant in your life is your sibling, and you're always going to be with your sibling, you have to have a level of trust with that sibling more than anybody, including your own parents in some respects. Because I mean, like it's the only person who's gonna be there always. It's not like you get switched off on holidays or like whatever by your parents. So you can't always rely on them to be there for you. You
Right.
can, you should be able to rely on your sibling. Anyway.
Right. And I do want to note that that would bring up another off podcast conversation about the current state of their relationship. Moving on.
Oh, yeah, maybe. I'm not
Moving
gonna feed into rumors. I hope they have a good relationship. I hope everything's well. That's all I'll say about that. We don't have to have a conversation on podcast. I was repeating something I heard. It is probably a lie, I hope. Anyway,
Good.
the private secretary asks Elizabeth and Philip about using the official plane, like royal transport, to transport Diana's body back. But Philip's like, no, those are only for royals. And I'm like, whoa, dude, come on.
They make Philip, and the thing that I've always liked about Philip as a character is that, much like me, he kind of boils things down to this is the rule, this is the way it should be. And I feel like it is appropriate for him to say this is the rule, but for him to say no, it's not your call, it's Elizabeth's call. And so you
Yeah.
are there to advise. And so to advise, it's like, hey, look, this is in place, and this is why. You need to
But she
make.
was still a part of the family. She is still the boys' mother and all that stuff. We should treat her
Well,
with some respect.
right.
And then Charles apparently the private secretary initially went to Charles, which I think was the best call,
Yes.
because he was the closest to her. And
Right.
in many respects. And
I do
he
love this.
and what Charles said is that if you say no, you might as well just let her be transported back in a Harrod's van, like
Oh, I
sponsored
thought
by
Harrod's
the
bags was,
Al-Fayeds. Like, are you kidding? That is actually hilarious.
yeah, it
But I
is.
think that's something genuinely that Charles would say. It's just like, okay,
Absolutely.
so you're just not going to treat her with any respect.
Yeah.
And coming from him, especially who didn't give her a lot of respect, I mean, props to you, I guess.
Yeah.
Elizabeth wants everything to just be normal at church, because when they are all going to go to church, even the boys who have just suffered a great loss, which I guess church is probably a good place to go for that.
It
But at the
is.
same time, maybe they want to grieve a little bit longer, maybe go to a later time. Either way.
It's a Sunday, and but she's head of the church, so she gets to make the call. And the call she makes is, We don't talk
Everyone
about
goes.
death at all. Everyone goes, but we aren't going to talk about the death at all. It's like, that's fucked up.
You're not even going to keep it in, like, be like at the, like, announce it at, like, somewhere, like, it, during, like, the petitions or the prayers of the faithful or the equivalent to that in the Church of England.
Okay. And I see her concern about the boys and people swarming them or whatever. And they are not alone.
Then just don't go to church if you think people are going to swarm
at the
them.
Chapel. I mean, right. You could have, I'm certain that the bishop or whomever would come to you. you are the head of the kingdom. That shit's gonna happen for you.
You preside over it. Like, come on, you can do whatever the fuck you want. You're the head of the Church of England. And right. I think that it's ridiculous to, like, I think that there were other ways to handle that. I think that going to church in general isn't a bad idea. I think that you should have probably gotten a private chapel so that you wouldn't feel awkward in showing your grief for something that just happened in public, and for other people to be, like, staring at them, and it's just right. Oh, it's awful. And so Mohammed is grieving and is shown in the engraved poem on the silver plaque and believes they were engaged, because he says that to the maid, and he's just like, yeah, they were engaged, you know. It's like, that was, first of all, really not confirmed. He didn't say, oh, she said yes. No, he said there was an agreement that was made and then hung up. Obviously, that's very vague. Obviously, you don't know what that means. So you're just going to assume the best. Either way.
Because that's what you do.
He says he will return Diana's belongings to the family and write to the Spencers and the royal family, thinking the tragedy will bring them together. Why?
Like, yeah, I understand. Exactly.
Like, what are you going to say in the letter? Oh, our kids might have been engaged, so we should come together in our grief. No, let them grieve in their own way. If they want to reach out to you, they'll reach out. You're not really the people who, you're not the person who really needs to be reached out to at this. Like, whatever. Not to say that if it's one thing if it was more official than it was,
or public.
It's just weird. Anyway, he says, then the royals go to church and the boys are devastated, and William is looking at Harry barely keeping it together. Yeah. And he also looks at Charles, who's barely keeping it together. And he's like, right. Oh God, everyone's falling apart. And he's like, I'm inside, I'm falling apart. And so, And then Charles goes to Paris and identifies Diana's body. It is such a sad scene. I would just like to say, regardless of how Charles has been portrayed in the past by Dominic West demolishes his performance here. It is
absolutely
devastating.
This episode is, like, the best. Like I said, it's the most sympathetic Charles as a character has been throughout, and we did really, really like what's his face who played Charles before. So
yes. Oh God, what is his name? Oh no.
The guy who really looked like Charles. Moving
yes.
on.
Okay. It will come to me. Anyway, something O'Connor.
Keep going.
Anyway. He starts, he goes into the morgue, and he's allowed to go alone, thank God. And he looks, and there isn't even a sheet over her. So he just, like, looks at her and he just starts sobbing, and you can
loudly
hear it outside. Loudly. And it is so heart-wrenching. It is very sad. And then the people of Paris applaud Diana's body as it is transported to the plane. On the plane, Charles talks to forced ghost Diana.
Josh O'Connor.
Josh O'Connor. It was something O'Connor. Dang it. Yes. Josh O'Connor, we love you. You're amazing. Anyway, on the plane, he talks to Force Ghost Diana and talks about how well loved she was, and how it's like, yeah, you did it. You completely changed the world. And she thanks him for being emotional at the hospital. Then she calls him handsome for some reason, which I'm like, maybe this is, obviously this is just in his mind, but, like, right. And he just wants to be complimented by Diana one last time.
this whole thing is just goofy to me. And I didn't need Force Ghost Diana. I understand that they want to
portray some sort of inner monologue for these characters dealing with Diana's death. And so they have to do something. But the Force Ghost Diana thing is just weird. And so that's why
I don't mind it. I think it is goofy. I don't mind it if that's what they were going for. I do think that it is in place. There are certain places where it should have been and some places where it shouldn't have been. This is not one of those places. I think Charles, it was a good point to like, all right, yeah, no, Charles is, he's saying goodbye and all that stuff. But there's a place later on where I think they should have absolutely done it if they were going to go all the way, and clearly they were going to. So what the fuck? Anyway, well, I'll talk about that later. She tells him that she loved him and how it will be easier when she's gone. He tells her he just feels regret now. And she says, it will pass. And he's just like, then the Force Ghost goes away. Meanwhile, in Balmoral, William is depressed and listening to music, as one does. And
he's got Elizabeth and Philip. It has to be just to like cancel out everyone, like leave me the fuck.
I don't blame him because if I were in that situation, like, and we have been in situations where we were like grieving like a family member, and at the funeral or the visitation or whatever. It just is hard to like constantly be like, oh, sorry, they were a great person. It's like, yeah, but they're not here anymore. Like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, it's
right. It is very depressing. And the thing about it is, like, you know, in that moment, people are willing to talk about the person. And then like much later on when you actually want to remember, you know, they won't. So
that, exactly. It's fleeting and it's very sad. So, anyway.
Right. But I do want to say this. So William, what at the beginning of the scene is staring out a window. It's like, oh, you're going to be king someday. and then we've got
I forgot.
He wants to stay out of the whole family argument because they start having an argument about whether there's going to be a state funeral. And Philip is pointing out, they're gonna have to walk behind the coffin. It's a long walk, it's terrible. There's always gonna be these TVs and all that kind of stuff. And what part of what Elizabeth had done is she'd taken all the TVs and the wireless and everything else and hidden it more or less so that the boys would not be inundated with all of this press about Diana because she felt like they couldn't handle it, which, you know, I think is completely fair.
Oh, sure. I think that's a good idea because that would all be all what that would be like broadcasted that day.
Also, right, they also talk about, you know, Diana being severed from the family and I love this, like, Charles is like, well, I want to concentrate on family Charles is wanting the state funeral. Elizabeth is wanting to concentrate on family, and the boys, and, you know, like Diana was severed from this family because of Charles. I'm not going to listen to you talk about how we should include her when the whole reason she's out is you, dickhead.
Yeah, and I think that's very funny. Philip just being like, and whose fault is that? It's just like, maybe not the best time, but I mean, with Charles right in your face, like, you can't help but lay that one on him. Like,
exactly.
I think that it is very valid. And if it wasn't such a sad tragedy, we would all be going like, yeah, Charles, are you kidding? You're the reason why she was doing this. And so, yeah, I think, yeah. Anyway, but Charles says they need to keep an eye on the mood of the world because clearly they're all publicly, there's like a public outcry of grief and sadness over the loss of Diana that is not limited to just the family. Obviously it's different, but everybody else has felt affected by Diana and her loss and all that stuff. And so, but Philip and Elizabeth blame him for the divorce and see it as a matter for the Spencers to deal with. They had just gotten off the phone with them. William overhears them talking and Charles agrees with the Prime Minister because Tony Blair is like, we need to have a public funeral with all of this outcry for all of that stuff. And Charles says that people expect them to show emotion and be a mother to the nation. But she's like, but I'm also a grandmother to these two boys and I want to keep them safe from like the prying eyes of the public because, I mean, it's just going to get worse for them. But at the same time, maybe it will just get worse regardless.
Yes, it will just get worse is like the bottom line.
And then Philip points out that Charles caused her the most pain. And, Charles,
I love it so much. I am so with Philip on this. It's like, look, if you are going to try to make us feel guilty, like we did this, this had nothing to do with us. We wanted you all to be together. So stop it.
Yeah. Just stop it. Charles says he doesn't want to let her down in death in the way that he let her down in life, which fair. And it's a sad moment of you didn't appreciate her enough in life, but now you can appreciate her in death. It's kind of sad. But he talks about how they can't pick and choose when to be public and private. And William needs to act like a future king. And William, meanwhile, is outside of the door just being like, oh, fuck that. I really want to just deal with my grief right now.
Yeah, I'm out. I'm just forcing ghosts into this conversation.
Why?
No, I'm not. Because I have ghosts.
Okay, and ghost is not a well-forced ghost.
Exactly. That's my point. Hello. Okay. God, you didn't even get it. That's sad.
Oh my God, Mom. Anyway, Mohammed has a funeral for Dodi at a mosque. Mohammed hasn't heard from the palace, and the poem he sent to be in Diana's coffin. Oh my God. Like, that is not your decision. That is not your choice. Anyway, it was returned. Creepy. Good. It was probably, according to Diana, it wasn't even a good poem, so like, just leave it alone. Mohammed sees
a bunch of these gifts that he gave her are things that she didn't even want.
Yeah,
I mean, it's pretty obvious. She's like, I don't want to watch. Thanks.
Yeah. Mohammed sees Force Ghost Dodi and talks about how he isn't. There isn't a mention of Dodi in the news, which is bullshit. Of course there's mention of Dodi in the news. He died in the car crash. Why wouldn't he be mentioned? I guess he's not mentioned as the hero of the story or the most important person in the car, but come on, man. In many
he
respects,
was never going to be. He was never going to be, ever. I mean, let's say he died in a car crash all by himself. Still wouldn't have gotten the kind of press that this got.
Sure not.
He would never
Anyway, he asks if you had unfair expectations, and when Dodi says yes, he asks his forgiveness. Like, you didn't know. Knew you had unfair expectations of Dodi. Shut the fuck up. Dodi tells him to be honest about who he was and not just say he was perfect, which is a nice moment, I suppose. So then we go to the royals, who talk to the prime minister on the phone about having the funeral at Westminster and who should attend, like people from Diana's charities and all that stuff. It makes sense. Charles is
informed that it's going to be a huge state event, and all of the security has to be coordinated with, you know, the other politicians and everybody else. So
And then Charles is informed that William is missing. Harry sees that William's boots and coat are gone, so they start searching outside, which are like hundreds of acres. So, like, good luck.
It's Balmoral. Welcome to Scotland. Balmoral.
They don't find him somehow. And I mean, it's not like a wonder of how they didn't see him, but like, when you see where he is, he's just kind of like around a lake. So it's kind of like
the same lake. He went to a body of water to yell.
I don't blame
them. Guess this. You know, they guessed this for Philip, like where he was. But no one is smart enough to guess it for William.
Anyway, then William is wandering outside. And this is the part where it's like, I'm okay. Whether or not it was a good idea for the Diana Force Ghost, I don't know. I didn't mind it. But the fact that they don't have one here is really bizarre to me, because
I think part of the reason is like, hey, they know that he's going to be the future king and he might sue. So like, if you start making shit up. So yeah.
Well, obviously they've already made shit up and about the current king of England. So like, what is this anyway? And about the former queen, either way, I just think that if they were going to go all the way on the Force Ghost thing, this would have been the perfect time to do it for William, and for her to be like, don't lose sight of who you actually are when you become king, or right. Not. I have always known that you're the heir. It would be
sad. You're gonna be a great king, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Yeah. Just don't lose sight of the emotional side. Like, take some stuff from me and your father. Don't just be formed like in the way that they want you to be.
Hamlet's dad might be fun in these circumstances. Like, you know, hey, you know, I'm whatever. Just you know, as more of an inspiration.
Yes.
I would have liked to have seen that. We did not see that. We saw bullshit. We saw
William show. Makes his way back to the castle in the rain. He has been gone for 14 hours. My lord.
Yeah.
Maybe time. I'm just a homebody, but like 14 hours in the wilderness.
Yeah, in the rain and shit.
In the Scotland, rain.
Like, it does make you wonder.
Yeah, Elizabeth says maybe Charles is right about the country grieving. She talks about this at night with Philip. Elizabeth is considering going to London early and making a public statement, but Philip says not to for some reason. Charles starts talking to Anne about there being consequences to Elizabeth not showing emotion. Charles then talks to Elizabeth and asks if she's reconsidered. Elizabeth says some bullshit about not being impulsive and emotional. Charles says that she should because it's what Diana stood for, and that's the best way to, like, I don't know, appreciate her legacy.
Okay, if that's the only legacy they get from her, that's pretty pathetic.
That's sad if that's the only legacy, but regardless, it's something that Diana did stand for, of showing emotion and being like one with the public, and I don't know, sure. Just being more human.
Okay. That is how she's portrayed in this. Whether yes. or not that's actually what she stood for. I mean, showing empathy, I think, definitely is. Mm-hmm. But how far, you know, and there was some question at various points how genuine that was. So, anyway.
Either way. Then Force goes, Diana strikes again. And Elizabeth hopes she's happy now that she's flipped the country on its head. Rude. And she says, Diana says that people are showing her what they want and need, and Elizabeth should be willing to learn. And so Elizabeth tells Philip they're going to London tomorrow, and Elizabeth writes a speech and reads it on TV. It's a great speech. We see people grieving, including the boys. We see the funeral. There's a really sad little part of Harry looking at his gift from his mother. The last like thing she wrote for him, and also of William holding onto one of her like sweatshirts that she would always wear and like just crying into it. It's so sad because the apartment feels so empty without her, and it's depressing.
Right, but they also have some intercut of actual footage of, you know, people like yes. kind of tearing their shirts outside of Buckingham Palace and that kind of stuff, and it is. I do remember that, like, just the outpouring of emotion was kind of unnerving, it definitely was a big deal. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously that happened.
Yeah, then we see the funeral. Philip talks to William while they're processing about how the people are crying for him and how to just kind of, like, get through it. And
well, no, because William's kind of like, why are they crying for someone they never met? Because he thinks they're crying for Diana. And Philip points out, no, they're crying for you because you don't have
depressing.
Well, because you don't have a mom anymore.
Yeah, exactly. And Elizabeth then finishes the speech and prays before bed, feeling her loss. I don't know.
We have not seen her pray before bed in a really long time. So I thought
it's been a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
The gold star from Jesus.
For sure.
Best parts, worst parts. Best parts for me, the acting, Dominic West in general, the boys, and the reverence.
Yeah, my best parts, William, Harry, Charles, and I do like Elizabeth coming around. So yeah, those things I liked all of that. What were your worst parts?
Force Ghost Diana ? I don't necessarily mind it. I just think that if they were going to go all the way, they should have gone all the way with the William part too. I don't care about Camilla or her reaction to Diana dying. It is irrelevant to me. Like, were they a part of each other's lives? Kind of. But I don't
need good way.
Not in a good way. You kind of ruined her life. And so I don't really care about Camilla.
Is this in part your fault, Camilla? Yes.
Yes. absolutely. Philip being against the plane stuff and just being kind of rude about it. Yeah, that's weird to me. No humanity, and also no humanity, Elizabeth rearing its ugly head again.
Yeah, but no humanity, Philip. I mean, like, he doesn't even get any kind of redeeming anything other than his conversation with William, which is not much, right? Mm-hmm. And again, you know, you're just kind of like, I don't know. It's bothersome. But yeah, my worst parts, I had the one-dimensional Philip. I hate that. I hate both Force Ghosts. I especially hate the Doty one, but I hate both of them. I think it's really just, again, lazy writing, I guess. You know, like, oh, I want to write some really long speech that I think somebody might have made in some kind of universe. So, like, yeah, maybe, you know, we're having some sort of fantasy creepy. I mean, who has fantasies about this? It's creepy. So anyway,
I think that people talk to their dead loved ones.
No, but someone having a fantasy about what these people would have talked about. You know what I mean? It's like, that's a little creepy. It's creepy. You know, to sit around imagining what Charles would say to Diana, it's like, nah.
Oh, people extrapolating in that in their heads, not just Charles talking to his dead ex-wife. No, I see that.
100%. You think it is totally normal for Charles to have had something like that, but for other people to sit around and dream up what it was?
Well, I think that's kind of their job.
It's morbid and creepy to me.
It's still their job, but okay.
Well, somebody made it their job. It didn't have to be. There could have been other kinds of writing, but we didn't have that. And of course, Dodie's father, Muhammad. Will say that they did show Muhammad's, show Dodie's funeral.
Yeah.
And it is very, very male-dominated Islam, Muslim. The women are separated, and it's a little weird. It feels weird. Let's put it that way.
Well, yeah.
So okay. What was your grade for this episode?
I don't know, a B? I don't know. The acting's really, really good. I don't know. B's just have a middling grade.
Yeah, Dominic West is really good.
West really makes this. I think he's finally getting to show off his real acting chops, and he was given this opportunity to do that, and I think that that's very impressive. I think a lot of characters in The Crown have at least one moment per season where they really get to show it off. I don't think Dominic West really got that moment in season 5, and so I'm glad he's getting it now. That's fair.
I mean, I think Dominic West is pretty great in this, but what grade did you're giving it a B?
Yeah,
I gave it a C. Again, I think it is because I feel like there's lazy, weird Force Ghost stuff and I don't like it.
I'm willing to give it a B minus, but
leaving that aside, I agree with you. We have not seen good Dominic West stuff in a while. And truly, you know, if we ever did The Wire, I could go on and on and on about I do love Dominic West.
Podcast about The Wire. I'm not doing that.
Fine.
I don't have any frame of reference for that, mother. I didn't work there for like years upon years.
I didn't work in Baltimore either.
I'm not talking about Baltimore and you know it.
Okay, fine. Not the point being that we do shows. It's like we didn't live in the Edwardian either.
I'm not saying that, mother, but yeah, you know you would dominate the conversation and you do know
it. Oh, no, not that. Oh, you know, like you've been doing all the talking for the last many episodes. So I don't know, Natalie.
I'm not the one doing your makeup in the middle of the podcast. Yes, I'm exposing you.
Yeah, I love you too. I have some place to be, as you well know. So, so the point being that I gave it a C. I do think there are some great acting performances, but I think the writing, once again, has let us down, much like the writing toward the end of Game of Thrones and so on and so forth. So that's pretty much where we are.
Yeah, I changed my grade to a B minus. I'm not going to go C territory because I do think it's actually better than the rest of this portion of the season. But the latter part of the season, there are some good episodes in there because there are people I care about.
Yes, so. I agree. So we are going to get to that. We hope that you join us. We may actually have alcohol for some of this.
I don't know when.
I don't know. There's some see how partying our, going like, on with.
Yeah, if we do it on the weekend, the maybe.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully you tune in and you join us and
cheers.
Cheers.